Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Identity Theft of the Self with John Warren and Ellen Hartwell. You can find us at ellenhartwell.com. We invite you now to remember who you are. You are empowered. You are not who your parents, friends, lovers, or co-workers say you are. You are not what the media tells you you are, and you are certainly not subject to advertising hype, right? You are you. John and I will help you to find you. Call in now, 845-277-9406. That's 845-277-9406. And again, welcome to Identity Theft of the Self.
Hello, John. How are you today?
You know what? I'm really good, Helen. How are you?
I'm fabulous as well. Don't we have a remarkable day in which we can create the reality we want, John? You know, our topic today is the self. Now, we've agreed, John, that none of us really know what the self is, but I think we can point to a lot of it. I think we can really talk about our experience of the self and what that is. But I think the very beginning of this should be what we're not. I am a mother, I'm a psychic, I'm a co-host with you, I'm a dog owner, I'm a lot of things. That is what I do, that is not who I am or what I am. You know, in the Bible, I think it's in Jeremiah, it says, I knew you before you were formed in the womb. Well, whether you believe in God or not is irrelevant, but it's an interesting statement because somehow we were known before we knew that we knew that we're here. Huh? Well, what is the self? The self, in my opinion, is an expression of a higher power, divine love, divine intelligence in this particular form that they call Ellen Hartwell. Well, that's very nice and cutesy and encapsulated and all of that. But what do I mean by that? I mean that I am here as a conscious, I hope, being saying, this is who I am, and who I am is very fluid, like reality is very fluid. But the self, when I say, so I said to myself, self, who am I talking to? I am talking to that being that is not influenced by race, mind, consciousness, by advertising, what my friends think, et cetera, et cetera. I'm talking to the real me. Okay, very good, Ellen. Who is the real me? Well, I don't really know, but I can tell you aspects of the real me. The real me, myself, is a creative energy. It is an animating force. It is a sense of knowing that I know. It is the observing self that is unencumbered by what other people think, race, mind, consciousness, all that. It is a pure expression of consciousness that I do my best to access when I affirm, when I pray, when I meditate. That, to me, is a nutshell of what the self is. So now I will close my big mouth and ask you, John, what is the self?
Oh, no.
Okay.
No, you're done. We're done. I think you did it.
Okay. Well, have a nice day, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back next Saturday at noon and 9 Pacific time, and we hope you enjoyed our show. Music.
It's very interesting, Ellen, because, well, first of all, you know what I mean? There is this, as we divide up our topics, I mean, we discussed this, you know, in putting the show together, divide up our topics, that we sort of have to lay the groundwork for an audience about what you and I are talking about, and hopefully callers calling in are talking about when we say identity theft of the self. Well, what is the self that is going to get stolen? And you know, that lay the groundwork here. And I know I was walking along the river when we talked about this week's topic, and well, we got to cover this first, though. I will admit freely and openly that as long as I've studied this, what I call, you know, this science or the law of attraction or consciousness is what I'm, you know, what we're talking about here finally, this one has always baffled me. And I do think you answered it sort of as close as we're going to get. It's not that no one knows. It's that the fluidity. You said, like, I am a mother, I am a dog owner, I am a psychic. You said all those things. Those things. Well, that's. But you aren't those things. Finally, is what I would say, is that those are the ways that you are expressing now. So, in fact, right now you are a mother. That is true. You are a dog owner. That, but I, you know, I am, you know, I am a person who lives in California. I am a dog owner as well. I have, you know, I am a person who is a member of this political party. Well, all of those things are true, but they are not permanent. And I think when we get into the self, where we want to land and how we want to really lay the foundation for further conversations, the floorboard. And I don't know if it's Jeremiah or not, but I know there's a great expression somewhere that sounds biblical to me. It might not be. Lord, give me the peace I had with you before the world began, meaning when I was completely joined at the foundation of the universe, the foundation of consciousness with all of consciousness. That is, and then we started to express ourselves. I started to express ourselves. And, you know, I don't know what people believe or don't believe, but I do believe that consciousness keeps going and evolving. The final floorboard, the baseline of what is the self, I think it's very difficult. I think we have to sit and quietly access it. And the best way to do it is to sit and quietly access it and be in unity to the best of our ability. By virtue of the fact that we're here, Ellen, and you and I are in bodies and three dimensions, we're on Blog Talk Radio, we live in the world, we know we're not complete. We're never going to get there totally in this life. I mean, I believe in this lifetime. I think the moment that unity happens, absolute unity happens again, we probably exit. That is a speculation on my part. Because, again, I do not know. But I think, finally, you've sort of nailed it as close as we're going to get. What is the self? Is we're moving back toward it. It is the place where we are foundationally connected to the universe or the God or the Godhead or the being or the consciousness that we emerged from to express. Meaning, I am expressing as John Warren right now in this moment on Blog Talk Radio, talking to you. You're in Florida, I'm in California. This is, all of that is true. I am that person now, but it isn't finally the baseline, the source that I emerged from. Does that make sense?
Well, it makes sense, and I don't disagree with you at all. I agree with you, John. I think it's so deep and so fluid, and it, when we try to put words on what is the self, I think words would fail us. However, I don't think it's just this or just that. I think it's a combination. I do agree that when we finally get to a place of I and Creator or I and the Father are one, when we sit in that unity, when we sit in that I am, we get a sense of that that is very deep within our being, that that is true. And then what we do is we want to access that more and more in our conscious creations. And the self, unencumbered, can only create. Because let's think about it. In the Bible, if you believe the Bible or you believe parts of it or you find it interesting, and in other religions as well, of course, it says, let us create man in our own image. Well, wait a minute. God, if you want to call divine love, infinite source, whatever, God, just because it's easier, God doesn't have an image in the flesh. And yet, it's clear we have been created in God's own image. What is that? Well, we're mind, body, spirit, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. And then if you take that even further, if I am created and he knew me, God, spirit, universe, knew me before I was even formed in the womb, then I have to deduct from that that I at first cause was a thought that was connected to a feeling, which then became a form that we now know as Ellen Hartwell or John Warren or whomever. And I think that pure self, that unencumbered self, is the authentic self, and that our affirmations and our setting laws in action and our belief systems activate that pure self. Does that make sense?
It absolutely makes sense. It's so interesting, Ellen, because we're dealing with thought and consciousness, and that's what this, you know, that's what you and I are doing the show about, and that's really where we want to explore and teach and learn and do all that other stuff. It is important to note, and I think this is an important note here, is that what happens to people who get deeply involved in this kind of new thought and law of attraction is to be wary of words become really important because they help us dig deeper. But it's important not to worship them. And I was just going to say, to activate that, I find in my own experience of creation, being conscious of what I'm creating, and in helping others to become more conscious of what they're creating and to direct their consciousness to create what they want, is that the part that we leave out is what we're calling the self, the baseline, is that, in other words, a person will sit and affirm, you know, I have a great new job and a great, you know, I have a great new job. I am a person with a great job. They'll sit and affirm and they'll do the treatment and they'll do the work. What they never do is, and this is what I think is burrowing deep at the topic that we are on today, is access that thing which is greater than their current self. In other words, that thing behind the expression that is John Warren, the thing behind the expression that is currently Ellen Hartwell, and access that force. And by doing that, when you're saying we're sitting on, you know, on the seat of the self, we're sitting on the power of the consciousness. Ernest Holmes used to say, you know, there is a powerful good in this universe and you can use it. Meaning it wasn't me exactly right now affirming these things over and over again, but sitting quietly and getting in touch and as close as that expression, that baseline emergent consciousness that comes from source that we can get today, and using that power to focus and move through us. And always, the simplest analogy has always been, you can access electricity in most homes in the world, or at least in the United States. Electricity will go where we direct it to go, but we are not electricity. And in this expression, and my expression is John Smart, does that make sense? In other words, electricity, I can direct it to make toast, or I can direct it to the refrigerator or the light switch. Well, I didn't do it. The electrician did it, but I accessed that power, I guess is what I want to say. I'm directing it, and that's what we're doing. And I think when we get to self, we're talking about source in many ways, and what people forget in the process, and I forget it all the time, believe me, is it's not just me as my expression here floating on top of the ocean directing consciousness to create what I want to create. I am accessing my greatest self, the thing I emerged from, which is source, and yeah. God, what are, you know, the millions of words we use for that same thing.
Mm-hmm. And I feel that source, that self that is we call source, in and around us working on our behalf at all times, we co-create with that by setting a law and action by the power of the self that we came into this world with. That's what I believe. And so the affirmations and all that, which are great, prayers, meditations, whatever one believes or does, is accessing that unencumbered self, which is source, which is the animating force that we carry around within our body and want to become increasingly conscious of and learn how to use, much like your analogy of the electricity. When I turn on the light, I don't want the dang toilet to flush.
Well, I'd kind of love it if it did.
Oh, I'd crack up laughing, and you know I would. But, but that would mean that I'm not using that source effectively, so I want to take a look at my wiring there. Well, what is my wiring? It is within me, and I came into the world perfectly wired. And then what happens? Identity theft of the self. You can't do that. You're not smart enough. You can't do that. Money doesn't grow on trees, you know, and so forth. And that begins to cloud our earliest vision of who we are until our self has been stolen, but really it hasn't. We just have to remember and access that self that animating force and make sure that when we turn on the light, there is nobody, the toilet doesn't flush. And John, I do want to get back to this. I think this is a very, very exciting topic, and we do have a caller waiting, and we will be right back ourselves.
William Wordsworth penned these words so many years ago, and I think it does us good to remember them. He says in part, "But trailing clouds of glory do we come from God who is our home." Well, whether we believe in God or we don't believe in God or spirit, universe, what have you, we came from somewhere, and that somewhere holds within it the seed to ourself, that animating force within us that brings life into us is the real self, the self unencumbered by anything other than a creative urge, a passion for life, a passion to create, a passion to be who I am no matter what anybody else says, no matter what anybody else thinks. Do we have to be perfect? No. But our self is wanting us to say, I am, I create, I believe, I am a force to be reckoned with in a loving, kind way. Let's remember that our self is within us. We need to access it. And here on Identity Theft of the Self, we're learning how to do that. How exciting is that?
It is exciting, isn't it, John? It's very,
very exciting. It's okay. The most interesting thing I do every day. Are you kidding me?
I know. It's a journey, and it's great fun if we let it be. I do want to take this caller who's been waiting patiently. Area code 727, you are now live on our show. Welcome to our show. May I have your name, please?
Zach.
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you for asking.
Cool. Great. So what is your question or your comment for us today, Zach?
Well, it's a question. I work as a life coach and psychic. I've done it for quite a few years. And I have passed on what I would consider to be well-thought wisdom to my clients, but I am stuck with this. There's a term that I have challenges with because you deal with conflict on any level throughout your life, and you let someone, quote-unquote, rent space in your head when they challenge you on a negative level. So my question to both of you is, in both of your opinions, what is the most effective way to let go of and detach from people renting space in your head with, you know, a negative opinion of you or myself?
Well, that's, you know, that's identity theft of the self, Zach, because when we let that come in, we want to be permeable to spirit, not man. And so when someone comes in and goes, well, you just are fat, ugly, and stupid, and as a psychic as a baked potato, and you have no wisdom, and besides that, you smell bad, what happens is we take that in as though it were true. Now, it doesn't mean we don't want to consider it and look at it and go, well, maybe I do need a shower, or maybe I do need to sharpen my skills or whatever. We don't want to be arrogant. But if we take a look at it and it is, in fact, not true about us, then we go, okay, well, thank you for sharing and move on, because that is identity theft of the self. When we let negativity take up real estate in our mind or our heart or rent space, as you put it, what we've done is we've said that person knows myself better than I do, which categorically cannot be true and is not true. And then if we need to, we counter the negative thoughts with positive ones. I know I'm a good psychic. I know I'm a good plumber. I know I'm a good life coach. I know I'm good at this or that. It doesn't mean that I'm not constantly evolving and using my tools better, because I am, I hope. But I just don't believe that. Therefore, that is a lie, and therefore I toss it out harmless to the universe. What do you have to say to that, John? How do we keep
that? Well, I think, and I want to jump in here. First of all, is it Zach or Jack? I may have
Zach.
Zach with a Z.
Zach. Like
Zach. With a Z? Yeah, okay, Zach.
Z.
here's what it is. It is my sense of what I've heard, and I'm going to speak from my own experience with, because I totally understand this. I think I totally understand what you were saying, and what I heard was, is that there are people who keep interfering. I will tell you, and this is what's interesting, and when I learn this, if I sit in meditation, because I have quiet time in the morning, I sit in meditation, get my thoughts together before I go, you know, go into work, as it were. And if somebody starts yammering at me repeatedly when I'm sort of meditating on being serene and peaceful, I know that they're doing exactly what you said, which is renting space in my head, meaning there's a conflict here that's undergirding it. And I'm not going to speak about you directly because I don't know the particulars. I know with me is it's two things. One is addressing, I am still working on in my life, being a fight picker. I want to prove something to someone. And I want to prove that I'm going to know that I'm right. And in fact, let me know if I'm on the right track or on the wrong track here. In terms of letting this stuff go, sometimes it's easy for me to let it go and sometimes it's not. And when it's not, it means one of two things. One is I have not forgiven myself or the other person for a situation, and I'm unwilling to at this moment. And two, what that means is I'm still getting something out of the resentment, the aggravation. Mm-hmm. And that is a tough nut for me to swallow. It is a tough thing for me to swallow. Like, how can I still be getting stuff? How can I be getting somebody out of this? I work on this all the time. I do this for a living. How can that be that I'm holding on to a resentment because I'm getting something out of it? And that is an absolute examination for me. On the ones that are big, there's gradations here. Sometimes I have an aggravation or I resent somebody and I can go, you know what, I'm detached from that and I can let it go and I can confirm it and it goes away. And there have been others, and they are often the people who are closest to us, that it is hard to just say that and let it go. And so I've had to examine what it is. Why am I attached? Why does this keep coming up for me? And there's something triggered in my consciousness that is telling me, look at this. Look at this. You think that you're getting something valuable out of this, and can you let that go? Or, here's a big one, what is the hurt in me? And Ellen's been very helpful in my own stuff in looking at this. What is the hurt in me that I still haven't healed and moved on from? Because very often that's what it is. Does that make any sense, Zach?
It resonates. It does resonate, and one of the things I appreciate about what you just said is, and this is an old axiom, that the people that you're closest to, that's who we're really tough on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the people that love us the most, that we love the most, you know, that's what hits the core. And that's probably the most difficult that I've dealt with is people that I'm closest to that are tough on me. If it's just a passing stranger and somebody says something unkind, I can pass that off. I can listen to some music and, you know, have lunch, and I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever, okay? But if it's someone that I love, that I respect, and they say something that's very caustic, that just sits there and festers. And
right,
so everything you just said makes perfect sense.
Yeah,
ma'am?
Because you became permeable, Zach.
Absolutely.
To that person, instead of permeable to what does higher power think, what do I think, and can I have union with that? Because if we have union with what higher power views us and how we view ourselves, if we can have union there, back to the self, what is that and all that, then that stuff, it might hurt our feelings, but that's the flesh, and we can drop into spirit and say, well, in spirit, I'm going to take in God's opinion over man's opinion every single time. Yes, I am.
And you know what? I love that one. I'm going to take in God's opinion over man's opinion every single time. I want to say, just so on a more baseline level, Zach, because I'm not going to get too personal on this one, but I will say that the one that has been, you know, that I get stuck on, and you said it, it's the ones that we're closest to, it had to do with people who are very close, and it had to do with money. And here's what it is. I would sit and sort of do a meditation on abundance, and this person would walk in and start yammering. And eventually I had to go, okay, I'm holding on to this, and
there's two things. I'd love to say I am 24/7 a spiritual giant who goes, I forgive and I can move on. That isn't the case. Where I had to go to really get movement on this in my own psyche is to say, I know, because I've been practicing this a long time, I know that this aggravation and this resentment and this unwillingness for me to try to forgive is clogging my own good.
Yes.
In other words, abundance that should be coming my way ain't coming my way because it is going to come to a person who's full of resentment about money. And if you're, you know, in that case, it was very specifically about money. And so it's like, oh, you know what? There's a flow here that I'm clogging. I don't want that flow clogged. So I'm going to try to begin the process of forgiving. And honestly, sometimes it can be very quick. I think that process can be very quick. Sometimes it's practice. I mean, how do you get to Carnegie Hall? Practice, practice, practice. And when that person comes up, I go, you know what? I forgive. And Jesus, the rabbi, says very clearly, Rabbi, how often do we need to forgive? 7 times 70.
Yeah.
And
there you go.
And that
right.
means that sometimes it takes time, and that's okay. You're going to get something out of it if you can forgive instantaneously and let that get that clog out of the system, and you'll know because things will start flowing towards you that weren't there before. If it's instant, great. It doesn't have to take a year, but it might. And along the way, it will get easier and easier and easier. And, you know, 7 times 70. And honestly, we can let ourselves, I mean, the expansion is worth it. That's what's the hardest thing about convincing ourselves of starting this practice is like, yeah, but, I mean, there's stuff, and politics will do it. If I watch the news, that resentment will do it. And it's just like, yeah, but it feels good to chew on that good, juicy steak of resentment right now and say, no, I'm not willing for the consequences of that resentment right now, because the consequences will happen, Zach. It will not happen to the person that you resent, but it will happen in some way in your life. Life will not flow as easily as it could. And that's the reason to do it. Sometimes it's totally self-centered. You know what? I don't want money clogged up in my life, so I'm going to try and forget this because I want the money to flow in the specific case that I'm thinking of for me. Is that, you know, I don't know if that makes sense. Sometimes we have to be, you know, there is a self-centered aspect to this. Like, oh, no, I want my life to be better, and now I know letting people into my head who aren't paying rent, who aren't loving, or holding
right.
on to resentments actually makes my life smaller. AA has a very good, you know, an alcoholic in that book, Alcoholics Anonymous, who says, and I've dealt with a lot of 12-step people over the years, I've spoken with them and worked with them over the years, and AA is very clear about this. Resentment is our number one offender. It doesn't say it's the only offender. It's number one. It's the thing that will shrink us and hurt us most readily and most often. And it comes up the most, and practicing letting go of that will allow yourself, the topic of our show, to flow. Because naturally, in your natural state, you actually don't have resentments. This is an unnatural state for you and me. And, you know, does that make any sense, Zach?
I agree.
True, that when we have hurt, when we have a sense of being hurt by somebody, yeah, we've been permeable to that person, but I don't know anybody on the planet who's not in the flesh and can't get hurt by that person. So we
right.
look at what's real. Did I offend this person? Was I wrong? Was I inconsiderate, insensitive, or in some other way offensive? And if I was, I apologize and do my best not to do it again. If it is not an accurate observation, then I can say, okay, well, they're hurting in some way or they would not come after me.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things
yeah.
that in my prayers every morning, I have three F's: faith, forgiveness, and fulfillment.
Those are
beautiful
ones.
Yeah, beautiful.
Those are
I
pray for everyone in my life that I love so much, and some of them get to the top of the list and some of them are down past number 10, but every morning, you know, I put my hands together and those three things come to mind, and that is what has restored me on a daily basis, because I have allowed these type of behavior before and I'm learning to detach from it. And as you said, John, you can, you know, money is a big issue in this economy, in this world. It's a major dominant factor. You know, it would be nice if we could all, you know, live like Mahatma Gandhi, but that's not going to work. Not now. Not in 2015. Okay,
no.
Forget it. It's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and money's a big issue. Commitment, trust, value, integrity, all of these things are really good items. And Ellen, as you said, I became permeable because I chose to have faith and trust in that person, and then they affected me, and then I had to take stock in my own behavior and go, did I cause this? What did I say or do to have them react the way they're doing what they're doing and how they affected me negatively? And Ellen, when you said that, what made sense to me was the first thing we do when somebody is unhappy with us or angry, the first thing I do is, okay, what'd I do wrong? And then we look at our memory of everything we've had with that person, and we go, I didn't do that. So they have their own issues that they're dealing with, their own department of responsibilities, and they project it on me because they're lashing out at me for something they did. And John, like you said, they resent.
I think we grow past them, and we grow past them by forgiving ourselves and others. But to look at it and not be a drama. It's like, okay, so maybe I was a total bonehead. I own it. I move on, making every effort not to do it again. But I don't want to sit and wallow in it any more than I want to sit and wallow in my resentments. You said that. You did that. Oh, my God, you made me crazy. You hurt me. You robbed from me, whatever it was. And I don't want to stay because that is a very, very difficult place to be, and it clogs our spiritual arteries. Zach, I want to thank you so much for your thought-provoking questions, and I hope you'll call in again, okay? Take care.
I will. Thank you both.
Thank you, Zach.
Okay, so we have to take a break here, and we have somebody else waiting. Thank you for your patience, and we will be right back to take that next call, so don't go away.
Many of you have been to my site and seen Maria, wonderful psychic, master tarot card reader, but have you been to her site? It's really awesome. It's askmarianow.info. That's askmarianow.info. And you'll see her there, beautiful lady that she is, one of our very own. And she is a psychic. She is an empath. She's a master tarot card reader. And now she does Reiki healings. She specializes in love and relationships. She has really great guidance for your future goals, your future desires. And she's very much about growing from within out. Get your spirit going. Create the reality you want. And Maria's there for you. So visit her right now. AskMariaNow.info. That's AskMariaNow.info.
Yay, Maria! Okay.
Yeah, we love Maria. I want to. Can I wind up something on that last? Because I think it's important. Ellen,
you can, and we have Maria. A caller waiting. So yes, go
right,
ahead.
Right. I will be brief so we can get to the caller. There's an interesting dynamic, and we're talking about what is that exactly is the self and where do we get stuck, and we will continue this conversation for weeks, I'm sure.
I know,
but
we will.
An interesting thing that came up with Zach, and I think it's fascinating, is the dynamic between sometimes our evolution is easy, and I don't want to be glib about it. I think it's very easy to say, well, you know, you need to do this, you need to forgive that person, and you can move on. And sometimes it's actually quite easy, and I think the more we practice, the more facile we become. And then you see people like the masters, you know, people who are masterful at this, who sort of demonstrate with the greatest of ease. You watch them, and you can watch them. And sometimes it's not that easy. Or I will say, I don't have to think it's hard, because I don't think God makes it hard. I think we, our stuff gets in the way. And sometimes it takes a while to clean out our stuff. So I think there's a danger in becoming too glib. I also think there's a danger in affirming that this is a difficult process making your life expansive and making your creative abilities more accessible to you, I don't think it has to be difficult. I do think sometimes it takes time, depending on how much is between ourself right now and our true greater self. Does that make sense, Ellen? So
yes,
it's an interesting thread, a needle to thread. It's like,
yeah,
to not be glib and say, well, just do these things and it'll all go away. On the other hand, I don't want to affirm that this is a horribly difficult, endless process, because sometimes it is long. I'm still doing it. Everybody's still doing it, or we wouldn't be here. But it can be simple, and practice, practice, practice. There, that's self important to me.
Very valid. And I often say this about that. It sounds easy. It's like when you look at an Olympic figure skater and they come out on that ice and it looks like so simple and easy. They practice 8 hours a day minimum for years.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that we have to do that for years or whatever, but it does get to a place where we can say, I am growing past this. It's not I forget it. It's not that, oh, it's not even in my consciousness, John, because I'm so evolved. No, I am growing past it. And when it comes up, I acknowledge it, I embrace it, and I say, there you are again. Okay, you know what? I am growing past you. Maybe I have to unpack it again, but I will get to the point where it doesn't have an energy along with it.
I love that. That's a great phrase. I will get to the point where it doesn't have an energy along with it. Love that, Ellen. That's exactly it. Once again, I went on forever and you boiled it down to one sentence. Are you sure you need me on this show?
I have to have you on this show. Well, you don't think they want to listen to me go blah, blah, blah for an hour. Okay, what do you say we go back to the phone line and take on this
great
call that's been waiting for 18 minutes and 27
ooh
seconds?
Let's do it.
Okay, let's do it. Area code 323. You are now live on Identity Theft of the Self. Welcome.
Good morning. This is Jay in Los Angeles.
Hey, Jay in Los Angeles.
I'm Jay in Los Angeles.
Hey, I know both of you. Let's not pretend I don't. And this show, I'm really glad you're doing it because it's immediately become this hour is a place I like to go on Saturday morning. So I'm really grateful
you
guys.
Oh, thank
you. Sometimes this practice needs a place to do it, and this seems to be a good place. Early on in your intro, Ellen, you said something that caught my attention. I find that with practicing these ideas, concepts, and principles, that there are often major challenges in my logical brain. Early on, you said that reality is fluid. And
right.
I do not find reality, I don't believe reality is fluid. I believe reality is reality, and that's sort of the definition of the word. Our perception
fine
of it may be, but are
fine
we saying the same thing, or is there an intrinsic difference between what we're saying?
Well, I think my opinion is that reality is very fluid, and it is perspective. Of course, reality is perspective. I mean, you look at a tree, and I assume you're seeing a gray trunk and green leaves and branches, and we can say that's what we see, but in fact, none of us see exactly the same thing. And this has been proved over and over and over again with witnesses. They have 20 people to make up the number in a room, and someone runs in and takes the book off the desk and runs out, and you'll get 20 different description of that same person. They may be similar, but they won't be the same. For instance, I could say, oh my gosh, I'm so ecstatic over this. Well, your definition of ecstatic and mine might be different. You can get an idea of what I mean. I'm happy or blissful or whatever, but it wouldn't be the identical experience that you're having, because yourself and myself, although they are made out of the same stuff, are not identical. God's diversity takes place not only in how we see, how we think, how we feel, but in fact in how we are, Jay.
Well,
Jay, can I ask you something? Go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, if all of us were sitting in the same room right now with me, I'm looking at a desktop fan right now, we would all agree that that fan is a fan. If someone said that is not a fan, that is a goblin, I wouldn't be able to take that seriously.
Well, until it turned into a goblin.
What were you going to say, John?
Well, Jay, I think I know what you mean. I want to dive into this, man. We are not. Oh my goodness, the two questions are huge.
It's your fault.
Oh no. Well, we manifested this difficult reality. My goodness. Jay, I know you, and I know that your logical brain, and a logical brain is essential to live in the world. And you're looking at a fan, and we have all joined in this reality to agree that a fan is a fan. I mean, I understand what that means. Is, I guess what I would say, scientifically speaking, and I am not a physicist, but I do find it fascinating, and I've read and I've studied, is that in fact reality, if you look closely enough, and this is something that you and I and Ellen are never really going to be able to do because we can't look that closely, but you can if you get a microscope, and people have looked closely. Reality actually is fluid, and the double slit experiment sort of affirms that what's happening is often based on the observer. Mm-hmm. And that is, I'm not a scientist, and I can't make the complete argument. What I would say is, I totally affirm my logical brain. I mean, the logic that you're asking to is that upon really close examination, which has been done in the last century, actually the universe is fluid and it's not that logical. But you have to look very closely. And so I think in the broadest sense, I understand what Ellen's saying. I also understand that. Overall, reality, I believe reality is fluid. Overall, and there's no reason to fight this, there's no argument here, we all generally agree on what's happening. In other words, you know, cops when
well,
they
the reason
interview
I think
witnesses.
It's important, and the reason I asked the question and the reason I zeroed in on it is because the whole practice of science of mind or whatever you want to call this that we're talking about is based on what we are experiencing in our reality. People come to these ways of thinking to adjust their experience of reality. It's because
yes.
of things that happen
yes.
in what reality is that causes us to want to change certain things.
Exactly. We change them because reality is fluid enough that our thoughts, beliefs, feelings influence the reality that we're creating. And that's what science of mind is all about. It's setting a law into action, or the law of attraction, whatever label you want to put on this stuff, is that we set a law into action that says this will be so. And when I believe it to be so, I can see it. It's already there. It's already finished work. But I can't see it yet. And once I have the eyes to see it, which means I have integrated my mind, body, spirit so that I have that vision, it will be so. And if reality wasn't fluid, then we'd just sit here and life would happen and it would be over and that's it, random universe.
Jay, I would say to you too is interesting. You're exactly right. People come to things that help them, whether it be, you know, the church or any sort of spiritual growth. They come to it, or a 12-step program or whatever it is, out of pain that happens from the outside in. But I do think that the thing that I've learned over the years is that I came to this study because I wanted to adjust the outside. You're exactly right. Exactly right. What I would say is what I've learned over the years is that it's still ongoing practice. If the noise of what's outside there can be overwhelming, what I've learned over a long period of time is that how to adjust the outside is, of course, you go from outside in to inside out, meaning something in you said, there's a fan in my life. Something in you said, I want the ease of air blowing on me, and that's a reflection of a tiny bit of your consciousness that was firmed, and, you know, there's no argument there, so the fan just appears, and it's happy, and it's there. There's nothing arguing against it inside you. And, I mean, I think that's the difference, is the practice of whatever's happening comes from the inside out as opposed to the outside. And Abraham Hicks, who's one of my favorite teachers, is constantly talking about removing yourself from noise. All of that stuff that's in our that we're looking out on now but it is bad. We keep affirming that it is bad, so it keeps happening. Or that really is happening, so we keep affirming that that is happening. Instead of sort of closing that off
and saying, this is happening now, this is who I am now. And you got to, I mean, in my case, I got to keep doing it and keep doing it. And it's an inside-out job, not an outside-in job. The outside is actually spirit spent, meaning that fan is a reflection of something you already thought, it's done. The outside is actually sort of almost automatically something that you thought passed in the past. Does that make sense?
No, it does. But and I'll call back another time maybe with this. Either we're misunderstanding each other or we disagree. It's very hard to have a conversation about, like, I do not think or believe or have any experience in my life that could make me look at the fan that I'm looking at right now, and it either isn't there suddenly or it is something else.
No, and that's not what we're saying. But you know what, Jay?
In reality, it's there.
No, it's absolutely reality. Don't get me started. It's stuck on the word reality. I think it's absolutely there. There's no question that it's there, Jay. It is a configuration of atoms and very, very tiny things that came together based on the observer. That's what I'm saying.
I understand
that.
So for instance, someone from a culture who doesn't have electricity and has never seen a fan before could come into the room and look at it and say, and then there was this monster with these things that were spinning.
Exactly.
And they would go back to their tribe and the Yanomamo people of South America who do not listen to your show. So I can say that.
You don't know that.
Are you sure?
I do. And,
yeah, I know. You do.
And they would talk about this scary monster, and for them it is a scary monster, and that is their reality. It doesn't change what the fan is. The fan
okay, I would like to say this. Jay, you have challenged me, and with John's permission, I would like to take this up in another show. What is reality? What is this reality we're creating? We've been dealing with what is the self. We'll go next week. We're going to continue the self stuff, but we'll also deal what is reality, and we'll keep on working on this because I will affirm that we will find a definition that works for all of us. How's that sound?
That sounds great.
And
thank
I
you guys
would just
for
argue,
my
Jay. I mean, yeah, you bet. Interesting. If that guy, this is what I would say to this, and I mean, I know Jay's gone, but I think this is important. If the belief in monster kept going with that tribe that mistook the fan for a monster, if that belief in terror and fear kept going, it wouldn't necessarily matter. It doesn't change the fan, but what it will do is bring up a situation where terror happens and monster happens, and maybe not exactly the same form. Like I said, the fan has been created. It is coagulated. It is based on someone's focus. It came from something. But this is a very interesting topic, I know Jay's gone, and we'll bring it back. But I would say, fear will then manifest in some way when that tribesman goes back to wherever that tribesman is from.
That is
because they
That's what
I would say. That it's inside out, and that's what makes it fluid, and that's what interesting. But very, very interesting.
Interesting
topic.
Yes, and do you want to do that next week? More on that.
Okay, look, we're going to plan our show right here on the air. Sure.
Okay,
let's
we'll plan it right here on the air. thank you so much, Jay, for calling in. And, John, you know what? We're going to take this other caller who's been waiting a while, okay?
Oh, sure. No break. Great. Go.
Okay.
Go for it.
Okay. So, area code 917, you are live on Identity Theft of the Self. Thank you for calling in. How are you today?
Hello, Ellen. It's Maria. How are you?
Hey, Maria. How are you, my
dear?
Hello,
John. I'm good, my dear. Hello, John. How are you?
I'm good, Maria. Did we just talk about you? Yes, we did.
No, that's another
no,
Maria.
No, different Maria.
Oh,
it's
it is.
Maria.
Oh, forgive me. I'm good, Maria. No, I know who you are. Yes, thanks, Maria. I'm good. How are you?
This is not psychic Maria. This is friend Maria. So, Maria, what is your question for us today, my dear?
Well, it's not so much a question as it is a comment. And I'd like to kind of like piggyback. She knows I'm going to make a comment. I'd just like to piggyback on what Zach had mentioned. He brought up a good point about something about having people taking up renting space in your head. I could personally, and Ellen, you know this, I could personally attest to this because there have been a number of people who have taken up space in my head. And most times it's with negativity. It's very hard to get past that negativity when you yourself see yourself in a negative space. So my question to you both is, if you're confronted with that negativity, getting into your true self and not having your identity, yourself being stolen, what would be the best method to go about correcting that?
Well, when you have somebody in your head like that and you have negative thoughts and feelings either toward someone in your life now or the past or whatever, you know, to me, you just keep blessing that person. You just keep wishing that person well and accept that, look, I don't feel so great about this person right now. I have resentment. I have fear. I have anger. But really, if we resent the person, we've been hurt. And why am I hurt by this? Either it's something that's going on now that I need to heal or something in the past that needs to heal. And myself, unencumbered by what other people think, will allow that healing to take place the moment I'm willing. Willingness has a whole lot to do with letting go. Mm-hmm. I hate that, letting go, growing past things. Mm-hmm. I don't think we let go of anything, and I don't think we recover from anything. I feel that we grow past certain thoughts, feelings, needs, desires, and all of that. And so as we are willing to grow past that hurt, that anger, that disappointment, whatever form the emotion is taking, then what happens as we pray for that person, as we bless them, it begins to soften. Instead of this hard nut of, ugh, you rotten, no good son of a tea biscuit, I wish that you'd go up in flames, you know, or I wish you'd puke in public or whatever. We start to have feelings.
You're not right.
I know I'm not right, but I don't pretend to be right. that as we begin to pray for that person and we start thinking, wait a minute, I didn't throw mental, emotional daggers at that person today. Okay. And slowly it actually transforms. At first we fake it till, and God bless that person, I wish them joy and prosperity, blah, blah. We don't mean a word of it. But the practice of doing that is transformative for whom? For ourselves. It transforms us. It doesn't do anything to the other person that we might ever see. But we begin to transform. We get to the next octave, the next vibration. And our authentic self, that unencumbered by race, mind, consciousness self, says, I actually do forgive myself. I actually do feel better about myself. And I am not permeable to what that other person said, did, or thought of me. Does that make sense, Maria?
Oh, no, it absolutely does make sense. However, to get back to that...
Yeah, let John say something because...
you want to say something. Maria, I get it. I would say if there's one person in particular, let me tell you, working with me, I mean, one person in particular that's stuck, that we get stuck, in a feedback loop of... Because, almost in my case, almost invariably, because they hurt me in some way. Because I lost something that I thought that I needed. That's the whole thing is based on mistake. I lost something that I thought that I needed, whether it was money or love or companionship. Or I thought something that was going to happen and it went away. So that person just stuck in my head. Or, they hurt my feelings in some way. I would be systematic about it. Everything that Ellen said, just be systematic about it. So I'm going to make the person's name up. I don't know if it's a guy or not, actually. But I'm going to say Steve McQueen is the person. Mm-hmm. So... as a practice, it is September 26th, what I would say to you is, not only, because what Ellen just said about raising the octave or raising the vibration, and which gets us past the hurt, and that's what you want. Because, Maria, and again, be self-centered about this, there are things that are not happening in your life that you would like to happen because of negative energy around one particular person. They're taking up space that could be filled with something better. That's what it can be very self-centered. But so September 26th, 5 minutes a day, pray for this person, God, or whatever it is that you access in your spiritual life. Please give Steve McQueen everything that he wants. I pray that Steve McQueen, that is in your, that is also in your will, help me to forgive him and give him everything that he wants and desires, if it be your will, and do that every day for 30 days. And I promise you, and this is, I never make a promise, but I will promise this, before you're halfway through with that practice, the vibration of Steve McQueen in your head, whoever the person is, if anybody in particular, mm-hmm. even if it was 100 people, will shift mm-hmm. and change, and your reality will shift. And there will come a time when you realize that it's, I mean, I've done this for myself, I'll speak for myself. Well, I have realized, and this is a spiritual practice that was given to me very early in my 20s, that the consciousness has shifted, and then the reality will shift afterwards. Meaning that person will have different power, or that person will suddenly change. You see all the time. People do it with their bosses that I worked with over the years, all the time. You know, start praying for your boss that you resent. Pray that your boss gets everything that she wants in her life. And if mm-hmm. it's God's will, please give so-and-so everything she wants. But I have to be systematic about things, about I have a linear brain. So I have to say, okay, mm-hmm. so 30 days, I'm going to put it on my list of things to do today. Pray for so-and-so today as well. I have to be that way. And the person who taught it to me says, by the time you get to day 11, 15, and maybe even sooner, you will realize that your perception of that person has changed. Maybe they got stuff, maybe they didn't, but it evolved. And I would just suggest, you know, be systematic about it. If somebody's been plaguing right. you and taking up space for a long period of time, say September mm-hmm. 26th, okay, every day until October 26th, I'm going to spend 5 minutes asking God and thinking, give me lovely thoughts. And if I can't think a lot about this person, I will say, look, God, honestly, this person makes me crazy. But please give this person everything that she wants if it is in your will. To do so. And it sounds like a kooky practice, but it shifts the octave, to use the word Ellen just said. It shifts the octave. And mm-hmm. suddenly, as often my experience, there is a sudden moment of like, oh, that person's not taking up the space. I spent the entire day and they didn't cross my mind. How did that happen?
Because because reality is that fluid, not like Jay was saying, a fan is a fan is a fan. But mm-hmm. our perception of reality is fluid enough that if we pray for them, if we make it a practice to think good mm-hmm. thoughts about them, mm-hmm. pray, meditate, stand on our heads, spit wood, nickels, whatever it is we do, mm-hmm. then we change from within and we project our reality from within us out. There's consensual reality and then there's non-consensual reality. In this reality right now, that person right. makes you crazy. But in non-consensual reality over which we have dominion, we can mm-hmm. then say, no, I bless this person. I wish them the best. And John is right. Do it for 30 days and mm-hmm. you'll begin to see as that time goes by that you're not ticked off at that person and you don't want him to step in dog doo-doo when he goes outside.
Well, and also, I mean, let's just go right back to the greatest spiritual treatise of our time, The Wizard of Oz. What you're doing is tapping your shoes together three times and saying, be gone, you have no power. That's exactly what I'm saying. And do it. Does that make sense, Maria? You're just saying, oh,
yes,
you know, be gone. I hope you get everything. Great. I know
we're at the end. We will be back next week at noon mm-hmm. and Eastern Standard Time and 9 Pacific Time. Sorry, I stepped over my tongue. Here on Identity Theft of the Self, we'll be back next Saturday. We'll be talking more about what is the self and is reality fluid or is it not? Oh, my goodness. Well, yes, it is, and no, it isn't. We're going to go through all of that, and we wish you all the best weekend you've ever had. Go try some of these things. Be willing to hear yourself within, unencumbered by what other people think. Be willing to project out into reality what you want projected back toward you. Ooh la la, I want to thank you so much, John. It's a wonderful show. I'm having
a great time.
Okay, and we will be back next week. Goodbye, everyone.
This is Ellen Hartwell.
Have a great Saturday.
Psychic readings, psychic mentoring, assistance in using the law of attraction, and so much more. Contact Ellen or John by email as well. EllenHartwell@mac.com. Enjoy EllenHartwell.com and contact us today.